And it's nice to see everyone that's joined with us tonight. Perhaps we'll open our Bibles, please, in Mark's Gospel. That's Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. You remember at the beginning of the New Testament, Mark's Gospel in chapter number 2. Mark chapter number 2. And we want to look at this story. I know that it's maybe about a month ago somebody spoke on this as well, but I'm sure it will bear speaking on again. It's been in my mind, and sometimes when you come and speak, you know, or usually when you come and speak, you don't really choose what you're going to speak on. Something opens up for the preacher, and this is what has opened up for me. So I know that maybe we've heard somebody speaking on it over the last few weeks, but we want to just have a wee look at it again. There's always different things that you find in the scriptures, even if you've read them 50, 60 times before, and you find something fresh each time. But in Mark chapter number 2, which you remember is the story of the man who's brought to the Lord Jesus. Remember the man that can't walk, and he comes on his bed, and he comes to see the Saviour. Mark chapter 2 in verse number 1, and it says of the Lord Jesus, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house." The Lord Jesus was in the house. "And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy." That means somebody that can't walk. "Which was born of four. And when they could not come near to him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the sick of the palsy, 'Son, your sins be forgiven you.' But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, and reasoning in their hearts, 'Why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?' And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said to them, 'Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, take up thy bed, and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up your bed, and go your way into your house.' And immediately he arose, he took up the bed, and he went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, 'We never saw it on this fashion.'" And we do look to the same God who was working there in Capernaum to give us help tonight as we think about these things together. I suppose there's much that we could say about the Lord Jesus and much that we could say about Mark chapter 2, but it is interesting, isn't it, just to notice right away before we get before we begin to look at Mark chapter 2, it is great to see what happens in that chapter. We see a man who's gripped by the power of God. You notice that? That's what that chapter's all about. It's about a man who comes and he's sick of a palsy, he's paralyzed, at least from the waist down. And he goes away from the Lord Jesus, and he's walking. He takes up his bed and he walks. Here's a man, and he's touched by the power of God. Now, it would be great, it's great to see everyone who's come tonight, and it's great to have an interest in the Bible and an interest in the things of God. But what I would love for each of us tonight is for us to be able to go away from this little hall, maybe just like that man went away from that home in Capernaum, and he was touched by the power of God. You see, there is a God in heaven, a God who has spoken in Jesus Christ, and he's a God that you can know in your own life. And when you do know him in your life, he is able to turn your life upside down. Now, don't you be deceived by a world of sleepy Christians out there, a world of Christians that don't seem to have any power. There is a real God, and there is the reality of the power of God is real in Jesus Christ. And you can know him, and your life can be different, and it can be changed, but only by knowing Jesus Christ. I love the little story that has been told about the Irish preacher. You've maybe heard it before. The Irish preacher who was preaching on Mark chapter number 2. It's Willie Mullen that tells the story. And he says, you know, he was looking for a title as to what he could call his message in Mark chapter 2. And he came up with a title like this. He says, it's the story of the man who went to meet Jesus with his head on the bed and went away with the bed on his head. Well, that's a good title. It's a bit of a long title. I suppose only the Irish would come up with a title like that, maybe. But it's a good title because it illustrates this point, doesn't it? This man's world was turned upside down, literally upside down. And there he is, he comes to the Lord Jesus, and he's there without any power, and he's there with no future, and he's there in his sins, says the Bible. That's the important thing. He's there with all of these problems, and there in his sins, and he comes to meet the Saviour. A Saviour who has the power of God, and who was just about to die for his sins. He finds a Saviour that's interested in him, and a Saviour that loves him, and a Saviour that's able to take him and forgive his sins and turn his world upside down. Would be great indeed if that happened to you tonight. And it can if you'll come and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. Now, four little things I'd like to draw your attention to in Mark chapter 2. Four little things I want to speak to you about in Mark chapter number 2. If you have your Bibles open, then you can look at it too. Now, I noticed this, you know, in verse number 1, that there was a house that was filled. A house that was filled. Mark chapter 2 and verse number 1 and 2. A house that was filled. Now look at there, verse number 2. Insomuch that there was no room to receive them. A house that was filled. And then you notice in verse number 4, there was a roof that was broken. And when they could not come near unto him for the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the man, or let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy was. So there was a house that was filled. We're getting the picture. And then there was this roof that was broken. And then you notice down at the bottom, it's bottom of my Bible, it might not be the bottom of yours. Verse number 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Here's something great. A room that was filled, a house that was filled. Great to see an interest like that in the things of the Lord Jesus. And then this roof that was broken. But here's something far greater, sins that were forgiven. Only one person could do that, the person of Jesus Christ. And sins were forgiven. And you notice there at the end of that little section that we read together, verse number 12, and immediately he arose, and he took up the bed, and he went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. That's amazing, isn't it? A bed that was emptied. A bed that was emptied. And only Christ could do that. He emptied a bed. He filled a room. He filled a house. And they took away a roof. And he forgave sins. And there at the end, he empties a bed in Mark chapter number 2. Well, let's think of one or two of these things together, will we? You notice first at the beginning that there was a house that was filled. Now, there was a reason. There was a reason for this house being filled there in Capernaum. It tells us, you know, verse number 1, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. Because the Lord Jesus Christ was in the house, that had a tremendous effect, you know. People began to come just to hear the Lord Jesus. He was the attraction. Nothing else. There was nothing else there that would draw anyone other than the person of Jesus Christ. It's a great thing, you know, in this little book called Mark. It doesn't seem to matter where the Lord Jesus Christ preaches, the people always seem to come. In Mark chapter number 1, there's a man preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ in the wilderness. And the people come. In Mark chapter number 2, the Lord Jesus Christ is preaching in person. And they come to that little home and there's no room to get them in. In Mark chapter number 3, they're preaching in a boat. Doesn't it matter? The crowds are there. There's something about the Lord Jesus Christ that just seems to draw men and women to himself. This message, you see, it's all about him. It's all about him. And there he is. The person of Christ is there in verse number 1 of Mark 2. And his preaching in verse number 2, he preached the word unto them. It would be great tonight if just through the preaching of the word of God, our eyes were taken off, take them off the preacher, take them off yourself, and take them off all of the distractions round about. And what we really would love tonight is for you just to be able to focus your heart and your mind on the person of Jesus Christ. You see, why did they come and hear Christ? Well, they came and heard Christ, you know, because of the things that he could do and the things that he did. The kind of person that he was. And as you read round through Mark's Gospel, you, you get a sense of the kind of person that Jesus Christ is. You find there in the opening chapter, Mark chapter 1, that he's a saviour who's able to deal with the diseased, and he cures the diseased there. He's a saviour as well in Mark chapter 1, and he's able to cast out demons from the demon-possessed. And later on you'll find that he's able to deal with the deaf and the dumb. And he's able even to deal with the dying and the dead. For such is the power of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's able to deal with people and with their problems. And so the people with their problems, they come to Christ. And here's another man in Mark chapter 2. And he comes to the Lord Jesus with his problems. The Saviour's able to deal with his problems. He's still able to deal with your problems. He's able to deal with your problems because he is able to deal with the root cause of our problems. You know, many years ago I was working in a hospital in the northeast of Scotland, and there was a man who was brought in, and he had a big bandage round about his head. And he was brought up to the ward, and layer by layer this big bandage, it came off of his head, and eventually the whole bandage came off, and there underneath the bandage was a hole the size of your fist. And it had eaten right the way through his skin and through his skull, and underneath you could see the brain. He'd had a tumour on his head, and he didn't like doctors. We don't blame him for that. But instead of going and getting it seen about, he thought he would just put a plaster on it. Then it got a bit bigger, so he had a good idea. Get a bigger plaster, and he put a bigger plaster on it. And then it got too big for the plaster, so he put a dressing on it. And he got too big for the dressing, so he put a bandage round about it. He hid it, didn't he? But didn't he deal with the problem? Didn't deal with the problem. And here in Mark chapter number 1, Christ is able to help us in our need where we are. Because he's able to deal with our problem. He doesn't just put a sticking plaster on it. He doesn't just go and get some pills for it. He doesn't just go and try and change and turn over a new leaf. He doesn't go and go in a course and try and make folk better. He can deal with our problem. Our real problem. You see, what's our real problem, Stuart? Our real problem is sin. And we have that in Mark chapter number 2. We're not what we ought to be. And we lack the power that we ought to have. Because we're sinners before a holy God. The book of Romans says this. It was whilst we were yet without strength that Christ died for the ungodly. It's whilst we were sinners, it's whilst we were weak and without power that Christ came into this world and he died for us. So maybe you've got problems tonight and you feel you can't deal with those problems. Maybe sin's got such a hold of you that you maybe even tried in the past to shake that sin off and you can't do it. Well, here we have a Saviour, and he's able to deal with us and our problems because he's able to deal with sin. He's able to deal with sin. He's able to deal with sin because he gave himself at the cross of Calvary for our sin. He's able to deal with sin because he was crucified for my sin at the cross of Calvary. God wants you to believe that tonight. And if you believe that, you'll be saved. If you believe that Christ died for your sins at the cross of Calvary and you ask him into your life, he'll save you. And if you won't believe that, and if you refuse to believe that, and if you reject Christ, you'll be lost to the deepest, darkest hell. And it's very simple, isn't it? I wonder if we might just allow it just to penetrate into our mind and our hearts that here is the answer to our problems. A Saviour that loved us and that died for us. Well, we pray that the Spirit of God might open our eyes tonight and that we might see Christ. Well, here was Christ and he was in this house and the house was filled. And there was this man, you know, that came. I'm looking at verse 4, if you've got your Bible, verse 3 and verse 4. And it says this in verse 3, they came to him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of 4. And when they could not come near to him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Wonder if you would like to come to know the Lord Jesus. Wonder if you've got a wee inkling in your head that maybe it might be worth trying this Christianity thing. Maybe you've just got a sneaking suspicion that there's something in all of this Bible stuff. Maybe you've met somebody whose life has been changed by the power of God by putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. Maybe deep in your heart, you're really looking for something. And whatever you've tried in that world, it hasn't satisfied you. And you know that you need God in your life, and you need Jesus Christ in your life, and you desperately need your sins forgiven, and you need Him to get a grip of your life and change it, or else you're lost forever. Can I say this? If you'd like to come to know the Lord Jesus, you better be prepared for a few barriers. A few barriers. This man, he wanted to come to the Lord Jesus. And there were at least three things that held him back. At least three things. Thing number one, he couldn't walk. But you know the great thing? He overcame that problem. He didn't let that hold him back. See, this was serious. He had one hope in this world. One hope of getting back on his feet. It was Christ, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The only one that could turn his life around. And he wasn't going to let the fact he couldn't walk stop him getting to Christ. And so four men carry him to the Lord Jesus. Well done. He overcame that. And then he gets to Christ. And he finds that there's something else holding him back from the Lord Jesus. There's a crowd. And how often the crowd would hold you back for the Lord Jesus. Other folks, maybe not a crowd in the gospel hall stopping you hearing the preacher. We don't have that problem, unfortunately, but maybe the crowd out there, and you're worried what they'll say and what you'll think. And here's the crowd. You know, there's many a person here in this book that gets hindered a bit by the crowd. There's a wee man called Zacchaeus later on, and he can't see the Lord Jesus. He can't get to the Lord Jesus for the crowd, but he climbs up a tree. And there's a man called Herod, you know, and he's there at a party, getting drunk, and he wants to please the crowd. He loses his soul. Very dangerous going with the crowd. If we go with the crowd in time, the Bible tells me we go with the crowd in eternity. Dangerous. He makes a mistake, he's drunk, and he makes a mistake. Listen, God does not take drunkenness as an excuse for missing Christ. God doesn't accept that. God doesn't accept drugs as an excuse for missing Christ. Doesn't accept that. We've got God to face up to. And we've got to choose heaven or hell, and we choose it now. And if we go with the crowd now, we go with the crowd forever and ever and ever. It's a solemn thing, a very serious thing. We must face up to it. But there's the crowd in the road. But I'll tell you this man here. He doesn't let the crowd hold him back. See, why is that, Stuart? The man's got one hope. One hope, one opportunity to get his life sorted out, one opportunity to get his sins forgiven, to be made a new creature, for God to get a grip of his life and put him back on his feet. He's got one chance, and he doesn't let the crowd hold him back. It doesn't matter what the man next door or the man at home or his pals are going to say, he's going to get Christ. And the crowd gets away around the crowd as well. Great man this, you know. One last barrier, a roof. Well, you can predict, can't you? A man that's not going to let his legs hold him back, and a man that's not going to let the crowd hold him back, he's not going to let a roof get in his road either, is he? And so the roof gets ripped apart. The roof gets ripped apart, and he's up there on the roof, and there they are, they've tied something to that bed, and they rip the roof apart, and down the bed comes to meet Christ. Nobody ever said it was easy to get Christ. I've never said that. And I can't mind any other preacher saying it was easy to get Christ. It's not easy. And you'll never need to go a bit higher than anybody else in New Cumnock to get Christ. This man had to go up on the roof and start tearing tiles off the roof. And you'll never need to go against the crowd to get Christ. It's going to be difficult. Trouble, eh? Problems. But you come to the end of Mark chapter 2, verse number 12, and you ask him. I don't know what his name was. Was it worth finding Christ? Well, he would say, you know, I had the crowd. And some of them weren't happy that I skipped the queue, you know. There was a man at the back there who was blind. He was trying to get in. There was another wee woman, and she had a bad back, and she was trying to get in, and I skipped. They weren't very pleased, that crowd. And the man with the roof, he wasn't very chuffed either, you know, but I got in. Was it worth it? Aye, it was worth it. It was worth it. So why was it worth it? Because Christ has turned my life upside down. I went in there, and I was lying on my back without power, and I couldn't walk, and Christ has forgiven my sins. And my life, it'll never be the same again, because I met a wonderful person in that room. I met the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God that loved me. And the Son of God that was about to die on the cross for his sins, he met him there in that room. Wonderful, wasn't it? It was worth it. So here it is, a house that was filled. And a roof that was broken. And you notice there, verse number 5, if you've got your Bibles. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven. The sins that were forgiven. There was nobody else that could do that. And the Pharisees and the folks round about, the scribes knew that as well. Look at verse 7. Why does this man speak blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God only? You know, they knew that something special was happening in that house. Here was someone that had the authority to deal with sin. Now, so often, you know, in our life, we get things back to front and upside down. And we begin to look at our sin from our own point of view. And we begin to feel sorry. We begin to feel sorry for ourselves and the trouble that our sin has caused. And we get it all the time in the surgery. I'm sorry about the way that I've treated my wife because now I'm separate from the children and there's, you know, there's trouble and there's grief. I'm sorry about my drink because my liver's going. I'm sorry about my drugs because I've lost everything. I'm sorry about all of these problems because of the effect they've had in me. But there's another side to sin. We have to grasp this. It's the effect our sin has in God. Sin is only sin because it's broken God's commandments. Sin is only sin because God has said it's sin. Doing wrong is only wrong because God has set it out in his law. Thou shalt not steal, and you shall not kill, and you shall not commit adultery, and all of those things. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And ever before we see the results of sin, God already knows about that sin because we've offended God and we've broken his laws. It might be we already taste a little bit about the effects of all of our sin in our own life. But the big issue is God. The big issue is that my sin will keep me from God. And here's a man who's able to forgive my sin. And he's able to take my life that was filled with sin and he's able to make it again. He's able to give this man a new start. Not only forgive his sin, but take him in his brokenness and put him back on his feet and allow him to live life again. What a tremendous Saviour. He's able to do that because he came into the world to die for my sin. Peter says that in Peter, 1 Peter chapter number 3, that Christ has once suffered for sin. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world and he suffered at the cross of Calvary. Nails were put through his hands and his feet. He was spat upon. He was beaten. He was wounded. He had a whip on his back. And he suffered under the hands of an angry God again. Sin for me. Tremendous. So such a Saviour. He's able to put a hand over your life tonight. And he's able to say, forgiven. Forgiven. I can't forgive your sin. And despite what the Roman Catholic priests say, they can't forgive your sins either, for they haven't died for your sins. No religion can forgive your sins. You know, Muhammad wrote in his Quran, every single human being will go down to hell. And he said of himself, he didn't know whether or not he would be going as well. He can't forgive your sins. He knew he had a burden of sin too. Only one man can forgive sin. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. I think there's only one thing holding you back tonight from getting your sins forgiven. And that's you wanting to get your sins forgiven. I think that would be right, wouldn't it? You see, sometimes we like our sin. And it's the way we've always lived. Maybe it's hard to think of any other way. And anyway, we quite enjoy it. We quite enjoy it. I've been trying to start a diet for about 2 months. I've got a stone to lose. There's the confession thing. I've been trying for 2 months, but I quite like Chelsea buns. I don't like the diet enough to give up my Chelsea buns, you know.
Trouble.
Sometimes, you see, sometimes we like too much what we do and what we are to actually come to Christ for salvation. This man let nothing keep him back, and he knew he had one hope in this world, Jesus Christ, and he came to Christ, and he had his sins forgiven. Wonderful, wonderful. A house that was filled, and the roof that was broken, and sins that were forgiven. And what a wonderful ending it is, isn't it? A bed that was empty. And immediately, verse 12, he arose. He took up the bed. And he went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorifying God, saying, we never saw it like that. Well, we never saw it in this fashion. Never seen the like of it. Never seen the like of it. I can't help but think, you know, that there was so much keeping him back from getting out of that bed. We've thought about some of the things before. His disability kept him back from getting out of that bed. And all of the crowds had kept him back. And you look down at verse number 6. Here's some men sitting at the side. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? His disability kept him back. And the crowds kept him back. And there was even some folks there with some doubts that were keeping him back. There they were as he was coming to Christ, and Mark says they were sitting there and they were reasoning in their hearts, how can this man forgive sin? How can Jesus Christ do anything for him? And they were sitting at the side and they were watching him with their doubts. You know, Mark's gospel is interesting. Some people have called it the gospel of the servant, meaning this, that it's the gospel in which the Lord Jesus Christ is always busy doing things, helping people. Mark, you know, is more interested in what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing than what he's saying. If Mark was here tonight, he would maybe stop me at the back door and he would say, well, Stuart, you've spoken for half an hour, what are you going to be doing about it now? You see, that would be Mark's style of thing. Never mind what you're saying, well, let's see the proof of it, let's see the action. And right the way through this little book, you'll find little words like immediately and straight away. You'll find them more in Mark's gospel than anywhere else in the gospels. Jesus Christ is always going, he's always moving. But you notice, as the Lord Jesus Christ is working, verse number 6 says, there were certain of the scribes sitting. Sitting. And they were sitting. They had no intentions of helping this man. No intentions. They weren't there carrying him to the Lord Jesus. They weren't there caring for him. They certainly weren't there on the roof opening up a way to the Lord Jesus. They just sat down. And they criticised, and they questioned, and they doubted. Listen, don't let anybody hold you back. Don't let anybody stop Christ from moving in your life and bringing you up out of that bed. And certainly don't let people like this hold you back. People that aren't interested in you, they had no care for this man. Christ had a care for this man. They had no care for this man like his friends had in bringing him to Christ. All they had was criticism and doubts. As they sat there, waiting for it all to fail and fall flat on his face. Don't be put off coming to Christ. And watch out for people who try and put you off coming to Christ. They're not people that have care for you. They're not people that are really interested in you. And there they were in Mark chapter 2. What an interesting section it is then. A day where the Saviour fills the house, and when the roof is taken off, And where this man has his sins forgiven, and when a bed is emptied, you know, only Christ can do that. For only Christ has died for my sins. Only Christ has been given into this world that your life might be changed, that you might be made a new creature. And you can have that tonight by asking Jesus Christ into your life and believing that Christ died on the cross for your sin. He's able to forgive that sin. And he's able to make you a new creature by coming to him in simple trusting faith. Our Father, we do give thanks for thy word. We thank thee for the Lord Jesus. We thank thee, our Father, for one who was able to move in the life of that man near Capernaum. Able, our Father, to lift a man up from being lame, to putting him back in his feet. Well, we thank thee, our Father, for the way that that man made it his number one priority to get saved and to come to Christ. Let that be our priority in life, our Father, to know him. And just to draw close to him and to know him as our Lord and Saviour. Let nothing put us off, our Father. Well, we know that we need thy strength and thy power and thy spirit for that. And we ask, Father, that thou would give help. Well, we thank thee for one who is able to forgive sin. We know, Father, that there are many tonight enjoying their sin and even ignoring their sin. Well, we thank thee, our Father, that Christ is able to deal with our sin. We pray, Father, that thy Holy Spirit would work with us. Bless thy word, our Father, as we've read it, as we return thanks in Jesus' name.